Welcome to this deep dive. Today we have a very specific mission.
We really do.
Yeah, and we're bringing you, the listener, along for a truly wild ride into a highly distinct culinary subculture.
Oh, it is absolutely wild.
Right, because we've got our hands on this fascinating, incredibly specific, and honestly, like, slightly chaotic on the ground audio recording.
Chaotic is definitely the right word for it.
Yeah, it's an auditory adventure set in Wigan, which that's a town in Greater Manchester in the UK.
Right.
And the narrator takes us to a local food spot called the Troll Man.
Which they actually describe as one of the best chickies.
Exactly. Which, if you don't know, is local slang for chippies or, fish and chip
Yeah,
shops.
standard local phrasing there.
And our goal today is to decode the intensely unique, jargon-heavy menu items of this regional fast food subculture.
And really to figure out how eating local food acts as a literal rite of passage.
Totally.
I mean, it is a spectacular piece of audio to analyze because it drops you right into the deep end.
No context at all.
None. There is zero hand-holding for the outsider. You are just immediately immersed in the environment.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because usually, when you and I look at a restaurant menu, there's this underlying expectation of literalism.
Right, like reading an instruction manual.
Exactly like an instruction manual. You order a hamburger, you expect a patty between buns.
Yeah, the menu says exactly what the food is, and you point to it.
Right, it's a straightforward transaction.
Right.
But this source completely shatters that expectation.
Oh, entirely.
I mean, as the narrator starts reading the menu and talking to the locals in Wigan, it's like they've stepped onto another planet entirely.
It really feels like that.
We're looking at things called smack bars, the incredibly mysterious pea wet.
We'll definitely get to that one.
Oh, we have to. And a dish that genuinely sounds like a threat, known only as a baby's head.
Yeah, it's intense.
The language is just this closed loop dialect.
What's fascinating here is that we are looking at a raw, unfiltered slice of local life. The language, the slang, it's as thick and impenetrable as the batter they use to fry their food.
That's a great way to put it.
Thanks. But we can't look at this just as a quirky food review, or some tourist's novelty checklist.
Right, it's deeper than that.
It is. This is an exploration of hyperlocal community identity. These extreme comfort foods and the hyper-specific words used to order them, they act as the social glue for this specific working-class culture.
Well, before we can even begin to decipher the more bewildering items on this menu, like whatever a baby's head actually is.
Which is quite the reveal.
Seriously. But we really need to establish the baseline of this local diet first, the foundation that this entire menu is built upon.
The bedrock of Wigan cuisine.
Exactly. And that foundation, as the narrator proudly discovers in the audio, is the dietary philosophy of carbs on carbs.
It is an entirely unapologetic approach to food.
Truly unapologetic. The narrator is trying to figure out what the famous Wigan kebab actually is, right?
Right.
And the local confirms the carbs on carbs concept with zero hesitation.
They are proud of it.
They really are. But I have to admit, my initial reaction to hearing that was, well, a bit of skepticism.
I think that's a natural reaction.
Yeah, because it's a pie inside a buttered barm cake.
Which is a soft bread roll.
Right, just for anyone listening who isn't familiar with Northern English baking terminology, it's a bread roll. So it's literally starch layered atop starch.
Quite literally.
So my question is this just about cheap calories? Or is there a functional logic to food that is purely designed to be, as the source calls it, quick and ready fuel?
Oh, it is deeply functional. And you really have to look at the mechanics of the food to understand why.
The
Yeah,
mechanics.
the source notes that this is prized specifically because it's quick and ready.
Okay.
So if you are a working adult who needs a fast, highly caloric meal on a short break,
Ray, they're on the clock.
exactly. A hot pie straight from the oven presents a serious logistical problem.
Because it's scalding hot.
It's scalding hot, and the pastry is fragile and crumbly. Plus, the meat and gravy filling is essentially boiling lava.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's a mess waiting to happen.
It is. It is very difficult to eat quickly while on the move without making a mess or just completely burning your hands.
So shoving it into a bread roll isn't just a gimmick to add calories, it's an engineering solution.
Precisely. The barm cake acts as an edible protective glove.
An edible glove. I love that.
It works perfectly. It absorbs any leaking gravy so nothing spills on you.
Right.
It creates a thick thermal barrier protecting your hands from the heat of the pie crust.
That makes so much sense.
And it provides structural integrity. It allows you to eat a complex, hot, gravy-filled meal with one hand while walking down the street.
Just pure, unpretentious, utilitarian fuel.
Exactly. And the source explicitly notes that 40% of the people coming into the shop order it.
Wait, 40%, almost half the customer base.
Yeah, it's a massive number.
That statistic completely reframes it for me. I mean, this isn't some viral modern food trend designed for shock value on social media.
Not at all.
If 40% of the daily foot traffic is walking away with a Wiggin kebab, it means it is a genuine foundational staple.
Yeah.
It defines the community's everyday palate. It is the baseline.
It really dictates the expectations for everything else on the menu.
How so?
Well, once you understand that carbs on carbs is the celebrated standard for a quick and ready meal, the rest of the menu's extreme budget items start to make logical sense.
Which brings us to a really interesting pivot in the audio.
The kids' menu, essentially.
Right. If the Wiggin kebab is the heavy, structurally sound calorie bomb for the working adult, what is the equivalent for the kid who doesn't have the budget for a full pie?
And the narrator finds the answer on the menu.
They do, and it's the 40 pence smack bar.
Or smack barm, as it's sometimes pronounced.
Yeah, the narrator is clearly surprised by the price point. I mean, 40 pence is practically nothing.
It's loose change.
Exactly. It's described in the recording as a cheap treat for a kid, and the anatomy of this thing is fascinating.
It's so simple.
It really is. It's potato batter, which is essentially a thick slice or scallop of potato that has been battered and deep fried, slapped onto a roll.
Just fried potato inside bread.
Yeah, the source notes you sometimes see this potato batter served alongside a burger, but here it is the main event.
Carbs on carbs again.
Exactly. But the real magic of this audio recording happens when the narrator asks the server to modify their smack bar.
This is where the local dialect truly shines,
Though 100%.
and where the outsider really has to pay attention.
Right, so the narrator asks the server, "Can I get a smack on any wet?"
Such a great line.
And the server just casually replies, "No problem at all." And suddenly, we are introduced to the concept of pee wet.
The legendary pee wet.
Now, the source provides this incredible, almost poetic description of pee wet. It's called the water of the bees.
Which the narrator clarifies sounds like bees, but actually means peas.
Right, mushy peas.
Yeah.
It's meant to provide free moisture for the chips or the sandwich.
Yeah.
And then the narrator delivers this profoundly bewildering sensory description.
I know exactly the quote you mean.
They say, "There's no pee, it's just wet, but you can taste the pee."
It is a remarkable piece of culinary phrasing, isn't it?
Here's where it gets really interesting because I'm trying to wrap my head around the logic of this transaction.
Okay, let's hear.
Wait, so you're essentially ordering the ghost of a pee?
The ghost of a pea,
Yes,
right?
it's just the moisture. If you're listening to this right now, imagine going to a restaurant and ordering a cup of savory rain that just happened to be in the same room as a vegetable.
That is a hilarious way to put it.
I mean, why wouldn't a customer just order a scoop of the actual peas?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it makes absolute brilliant economic sense.
Okay, lay it on me.
Think about the physical reality of the smack bar we just described. You have a dense, dry bread roll containing a dense, battered, fried potato slice.
Very dry.
Exactly. If you are a listener imagining eating that right now, you know it would absorb absolutely every drop of moisture in your mouth.
Yeah, eating it dry would be a difficult chore. It would be like trying to swallow a delicious deep-fried sponge.
Precisely. You need some kind of lubrication to get it down.
Right.
But the target demographic for this item is a kid looking for a cheap treat.
And they only have 40 pence.
Right. That kid has 40p. They do not have the extra money to buy a full portion of mushy peas to provide that moisture.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Meanwhile, behind the counter, the chippy has a massive vat of mushy peas simmering away all day long.
Yeah.
As those peas cook down, they release their starches, their salts, and their flavors into the water, creating a thick, savory, incredibly flavorful green liquor on top.
So the wet is just a natural byproduct of the cooking process.
Exactly. It's an extraction of value. Think of it like a traditional butcher who breaks down an animal.
Okay.
The butcher sells the expensive cuts of meat, but they are left with the bones. Instead of throwing the bones away, they boil them down to extract every last bit of collagen and flavor to make a rich broth.
Which they might give away or sell for pennies.
Exactly. The chippy is doing the exact same thing with the peas. By offering the pea wet for free, they are utilizing the leftover starch water to add vital moisture and deep umami flavor to a dry dish.
Wow.
And they do it without adding a single penny to the cost for the customer.
That is sheer culinary ingenuity born entirely out of economic constraint.
It really is.
I mean, they have isolated the flavor compound of the pea and separated it from the physical caloric mass of the pea itself.
That's a very scientific way to look at it, but yes.
So the kid gets a hot, flavorful, satisfying, moist sandwich for 40 pence, and the shop maximizes the utility of their ingredients.
And this explains the narrator's sensory description perfectly.
Right, there's no pea, it's just wet, but you can taste the pea.
Exactly. The physical matter is gone, but the essence remains. And the fact that the locals just call it wit, using an adjective as a noun, is indicative of how language gets compressed in these tight-knit communities.
Yeah, they don't have time for long explanations.
You don't need to explain that it is the seasoned starch water derived from simmering peas. You just say wet. Because everyone in the shop already knows the code.
It's hyper-efficient communication.
Very much so.
So our brave narrator has now acquired the two titans of the menu.
The heavyweights.
On one side, we have the heavy utilitarian Wigan kebab, the pie, inside the edible glove.
Right.
On the other side, the moisture-maximizing, budget-friendly smack bar with pea wit.
And the audio transitions into a side-by-side taste test.
The clash of the carbs.
The ultimate showdown.
The narrator compares the two, and they make a very astute physical observation. They note that the Wigan kebab is, quote, obviously a lot more eating and no peas.
Which is true. It's a dense, serious meal that requires a real appetite.
Yeah, it's not a light snack, but then they turn to the smack bar with pea wet, and in a dramatic twist, they apologize to the Wake brothers.
Which is their term for the local Wiganers.
Right, and they officially declare a preference for the smack bar.
It is a surprising verdict.
Really surprising.
I mean, they travel to this specific spot, having heard legends of the Wigan kebab, fully intending to experience this famous local staple.
And yet.
Yet, they are ultimately won over by the 40 pence off-menu kids' treat dripping in pea water.
The underdog takes the crown.
It really does.
I think it speaks to the surprising culinary balance of the pea wet. It probably cuts through the heavy starch of the potato batter in a way the dry pie and bread just doesn't.
That's a very fair assessment.
But just when you think this deep dive couldn't get any more intensely regional or, frankly, any more linguistically confusing,
Oh, here we go.
the narrator introduces the final item on the menu, the grand finale, an item known simply as the baby's head.
It is quite an arresting image to encounter on a food menu.
I genuinely don't understand how this naming convention
It
survived.
is a bit shocking.
The narrator opens this dish up and says it literally looks like a baby's head inside.
Yeah.
And they refer to the dish with this highly specific phrase. They say, "Now we're talking, that's a serious pilot."
Which implies this is a heavy hitter, an expert-level undertaking.
But a baby's head, really?
Yeah, I know.
How does a dish described as looking like an infant's skull become a celebrated serious meal? If a restaurant in my neighborhood advertised a baby's head, I think the health department would get a lot of phone calls.
Oh, absolutely. But it is entirely about the humor and the raw authenticity of regional nomenclature.
Okay, explain that.
If you analyze the local slang in closed communities, you often find this kind of gallows humor or slightly alarming visual literalism.
So it's a visual thing.
Completely. A baby's head in this context is a traditional steamed pudding, usually steak and kidney.
Ah, okay.
And because it is steamed in a basin, it comes out as this pale, round, smooth dome of suet pastry.
Right.
When it is tipped out onto a plate and sits there covered in dark gravy, the visual comparison to a smooth, round head is undeniably accurate, if morbid.
Okay, so it's visually accurate, but they chose the most unsettling possible comparison. Why lean into that?
Because the slang functions as a cultural fence.
A cultural fence.
Yeah, it is a form of affectionate gatekeeping. To an outsider like you or me, or a tourist walking in off the street, ordering a baby's head or a smack on any wet sounds jarring, absurd, or even off-putting.
Very off-putting.
And that is exactly the point. It creates a boundary between the people who belong to the community and the people who don't.
Oh, wow.
If you walk into the Troll Man and order these items without blinking, the person behind the counter immediately knows you speak the local code. You are one of them.
So, knowing the unappetizing name and ordering it anyway proves you trust the establishment.
Exact.
You have to earn the right to know that the food is actually delicious.
That's a brilliant way to phrase it. And that brings us to the narrator's final triumphant statement in the audio.
What was it again?
After completing this meal, they sit back and declare, "I'm officially a winner now."
So what does this all mean? Why does eating lunch make you a winner?
Because they didn't just consume calories, they navigated a complex labyrinth of local slang. They pushed past their own outsider hesitation regarding dishes named after body parts.
Yeah, the baby's head hurdle.
They embraced the carbs-on-carbs ethos, and they conquered the menu. Eating this highly specific local food isn't just about sustenance.
It's bigger than that.
It is a cultural rite of passage. By finishing the baby's head and preferring the pee wet, the narrator has transitioned from a bewildered, observing tourist to an initiated insider.
They passed the test.
They won the game of cultural assimilation.
That is just incredible. It completely changes the way you look at a greasy paper bag of takeout.
It really does.
It's not just fast food. It's an edible passport to a community. You are literally digesting the history and the language of the town.
Perfectly said.
So to summarize the journey for you listening right now, what started as a chaotic, slightly confusing audio clip of a guy ordering lunch at a chippy in Wigan, well, it actually serves as a masterclass in hyperlocal anthropology.
It absolutely does.
We looked at the unapologetic carbs on carbs Wigan kebab and realized it is a brilliant edible engineering solution designed to provide quick and ready fuel for working hands.
Utilitarian genius.
Yeah. We explored the sheer moisture-maximizing ingenuity of the pea wet, proving that extracting the flavor from a pea can elevate a 40-pence potato sandwich into a zero-waste economic masterpiece.
A true masterpiece.
And finally, we faced down the ominous-sounding baby's head, realizing that terrifying local slang isn't meant to scare you away. It's the affectionate glue that holds a community's identity together.
It's all about belonging.
Exactly. It's an unfiltered look at how what we eat and what we call it defines exactly who we are.
This raises an important question, though, when we turn the analytical lens back on ourselves.
Oh.
We look at Wigan and marvel at the pee wet, but how much of our own comforting local food traditions would sound utterly bizarre or even downright alarming if they were described literally by an outsider walking into our own neighborhood restaurant?
Oh, that's so true.
Every community has its own closed-loop dialect. We all have our own version of the baby's head that we completely take for granted because we grew up speaking the code.
Yeah, if you're listening to this on your commute or sitting at home, you probably know exactly what your town's weird local delicacy is.
I'm sure they do.
Which leaves me with a final provocative thought for you to mull over as you go about the rest of your day.
I love these.
I want you to mentally look in your kitchen right now. If you were forced to create your own carbs on carbs dish, native to your own hometown, using only the cheapest, most readily available ingredients you have sitting in your pantry, what would it be?
A fun challenge.
And more importantly, what terrifying, entirely unexplainable local slang name would you give it to ensure that outsiders would be too afraid to ever order it, but the locals would line up for it?
That is the real test right there.
Think about it. The ghost of the pea is watching. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the culinary wilds of Wigan.
Until next time, keep questioning what's on the menu.
We'll see you on the next one.